Let's get our Bibles out this morning. Please take your Bible and turn to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 25. We'll begin reading at verse number 1 this morning, please. 2 Chronicles, chapter 25, and we'll begin reading at verse number 1. Would you please stand as we honor the reading of God's Word this morning? Second Chronicles, chapter 25, beginning with verse number 1. Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jehoadan of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. Now it came to pass, when the kingdom was established to him, that he slew his servants that had killed the king his father. But he slew not their children, but did as it is written in the law in the book of Moses, where the Lord commanded, saying, the father shall not die for the children, neither shall the children die for the fathers, but every man shall die for his own sin. Moreover, Amaziah gathered Judah together and made them captains over thousands and captains over hundreds, according to the houses of their fathers throughout all Judah and Benjamin. And he numbered them from 20 years old and above, and found them 300,000 choice men, able to go forth to war, that could handle spear and shield. He hired also 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel for 100 talents of silver. But there came a man of God to him, saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee, for the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, with all the children of Ephraim. But if thou wilt go, do it, be strong for the battle. God shall make thee fall before the enemy, for God hath power to help and to cast down. This is the key verse in this entire passage. Please pay a close attention to this. And Amaziah said to the man of God, but what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? And the man of God answered, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. You know, last Sunday morning, I began preaching a series, and the title of that series is, Our God is Able. And the first sermon I preached was, Our God is Able to Save, and Our God is Able to Destroy. And then Sunday night, I preached that Our God is Able to Deliver. And with God's help this morning, I want to preach on this subject. God is able to give more than you give up. God is able to give more back to you than you're able to ever give up for His sake. Brother Dan, would you pray for this message, and everybody can be seated.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for being here this morning. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity we have to come here.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we thank you for the messenger today.
Help me.
God, we ask you to bless the music. Father, may our hearts be touched by it. God, we
ask
you to you'd speak the heart in order for me one here today that is lost. That God, you deal with that heart.
Please.
Help them to see, Lord, they need to be saved. Lord, we ask today that God, you meet with us. Lord, the preacher's already said, Lord, it all be in vain, Lord, if you don't come in and Lord, speak the heart and do the work.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, King Amaziah comes to the throne at the age of 25. And the Bible says that he reigns 29 years in Jerusalem as king of Judah. He was a decent king, according to the Bible. You see that in verse number 2. We just read that. The Bible tells us that he hires 100,000 men from Israel. That's the 10 northern tribes. And he gives them 100 talents of silver to fight against the Edomites. Now, I looked that up, and according to what I found, in today's value, today's market, that would be worth $1,650,100 worth of silver. That's pretty good change. Pretty good chunk of change right there. So he hires these 100,000 men, and he wants them to help fight the Edomites. But then the man of God comes to Amaziah, and he tells him, he says, the Lord is not with Israel. You don't want to get involved with them. God's not with them. And they are not to go into battle with you and go into battle with Judah against the Edomites. Then Amaziah has a pretty good question, which I think is a good question, at least in the flesh. I probably would ask the same question. Amaziah has a pretty good question. He says, what about all this silver we gave them? You mean you're coming to me and telling me, no, we don't want you involved in our battle. We don't want you to help us. I just gave this army over $1 million worth of silver. What am I supposed to do about that? And that's where we get to our third message in this series, Our God is Able. And we're looking at that word able as it shows up and it relates to God. That's when he comes in there and the Lord, he says this, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. He said, whatever you've given up and you can't get back, you will actually get more and come out in better shape if you'll just do what I told you to do. It's not worth hanging on to. And of course, if you go on and read the story, it's a good story. Amaziah obeys the Lord. He sends the men of Ephraim away and he leads the people in battle. They won the day, killing 10,000 men of Seir. So I want to look at this subject. Our God is able to give you more than you give up. And you might ask a question here this morning. What might you give up to serve the Lord? What might God have me to give up to serve the Lord? Well, in the context of the passage, it's money. So let's just start out there and just get it out of the way. Then everybody can relax. Amen. It's amazing how a sermon a nosedive as soon as you mention money. But the context of the passage is money. It's silver. And you might give up some money if you give it to the church or if you give it to a missionary. And you know that I don't preach tithing around here. I preach what Paul said. He said you ought to give cheerfully as the Lord has prospered you. That might even mean more than tithing. Amen. I know you don't want to hear that. Amen. Money. Listen, whatever money you give for the church or the missionary or whatever, God will reward you with much more money. You're not going to give up anything that you're not going to get back. And I'm not like these health, wealth, and prosperity preachers. I don't know necessarily you're going to get it back here on the earth, but I know you'll get it back in heaven. Any money that you give up for God, what might you give up to serve God? Maybe your time. You say, I have limited time, and you want me there on Sundays? And I mean, listen, I need to rest on Sundays. And I work 6 days a week, and Sunday's a very important day to me. Whatever you give up to be here on Sunday, to worship the Lord and to sing His praises and to learn His Bible and get some good preaching. I hope it's good preaching and good teaching. Whatever you give up, God is able to give it all back to you. But what might you give up? You may give up some time. You may give up some money. You may give up some pleasures of sin. You may give up some friends. I've had to give up some friends along the way, and usually it wasn't that I gave them up. They gave me up. Everybody's talking. Listen, I have never been quick to abandon a friendship. You got to do something pretty, pretty bad. I mean, like almost, you know, attempted murder or something on me. I can get over a lot of things, but it's amazing that the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness that I've extended to people over the years, they won't extend it back to me. I don't know what that is. I mean, you can mess up countless times. I'm like, okay, man, everybody messes up. Nobody bats 1,000. Don't worry about it. We're buddies. I mess up one time, you ready to nail me to the cross. That's another sermon. Listen, whatever pleasures you give up, and I was a teenager, a rebellious punk teenager. You name the sin, I've just about been in it. Just a few of them I haven't. But I did it. And I'm telling you right now, everything that I have ever given up to serve God and to try to be clean before Him, He has replaced it with much better stuff. I don't desire it. I don't want it. I don't want nothing that world's got to offer. Nothing it's got to offer. It doesn't offer anything but heartache and pain and struggle. But, you know, if you give up some pleasure, you give up some friends, you give up some popularity, give up your liquor, give up your drugs. And listen, by the way, if you're here this morning and you're not saved, don't even pay no attention to none of this. I'm not asking you to give up nothing. You don't need to worry about giving up liquor. You don't need to worry about giving up drugs. You don't need to worry about living right. That's for you once you get saved. All you need to worry about this morning is that the Bible says that you are lost and undone without Christ. And the Bible says if you die in your sins, you'll go to a place called hell and you'll burn there forever. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ went to that cross some 2,000 years ago and He died for the sins of the world. And if you'll just receive the free gift of salvation, He said that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He'll save you right now. He'll save you right now. And everything you give up in this world to believe on Christ will be worth it. The friends I have now are much better than the friends I used to have. Let me tell you something. I wouldn't have two pennies to rub together. I'd probably be a drunk. Done been through five or six marriages. Probably dead and in hell right now if Christ hadn't come to me and saved me. Everything I've got is because of Christ. I know where I came from. I know what kind of family I came out of. I know where I was headed. Brother, it's the grace of God that gave me all this stuff. And I know I wouldn't have nothing if it wasn't for Him. Nothing. So if you're lost, all you got to do is just come to Christ. It's just the old song in the hymn book, just as I am, without one plea. Oh, Lamb of God, I come. But let me tell you something. He'll give you, when He puts the Holy Spirit within you, you'll get something much better than anything you've ever enjoyed out there in that world. I can promise you that. But you might give up a career because you know God's not in it. You might give up some of your own ambitions. A relationship, maybe some secret sins. Maybe God wants to take away some of that bitterness and anger and give you something much more valuable. Maybe you might have to give up some riches, some education, a life, or a choice, a way that you want to go. And God says, that's not the way I want you to go. And you say, but what about the 100? What about the 100 pieces of silver? What about all this money, all this time, all this effort, all this education? All this, everything that I've invested in this, and now you're telling me, God, no. And God is saying, listen to me. I am able to give you much more than I'm asking you to abandon or give up here today. That's what He's saying. I don't know about you, but that's shouting ground, brother. You know what that means? That means if I'll do what that book says and just do right, God said everything you give up will be in one big trash heap. It'll mean nothing. I'll give you something back in return that actually amount to something. It'll pass through the fire on the day of judgment, at the judgment seat of Christ. It'll make you fulfilled and happy right now, and it'll do something for you in eternity. So think about that. What might you give up to serve the Lord? And you say, okay, number two, what would I lose by serving the Lord? Because you're talking about, man, he lost 100 talents of silver. Well, let me tell you what you might lose. You might lose a lot of sleepless nights. You may sleep a little bit better. You say, yeah, but I've got to give up doing this and give up doing that. Yeah, and you're tired all the time. Because you feel guilty and your conscience disturbs you. I remember a time in my life because I was saved as a teenager. I remember a time in my life when I was saved as a teenager, but just as backslidden on God as you. I mean, you couldn't have told the difference between me and a lost person. And I remember laying in that bed at night, and I'd turn that light out and try to go to sleep, and I'd be thinking, well, what if so-and-so found out? What if my mama knew I was doing this? Used to, it would embarrass a boy for his mama to find out he was doing wicked. You respected your mama. You loved your mama. She meant something to you. You would never want your mama to know. I mean, your daddy, you don't want him to know either because he'd just beat the tar out of you. But you don't want your mama to know how vile you are because you would just be so embarrassed and it would hurt you. Of anybody in the world, you don't want your mama to think bad about you. You don't want your mama to find out that you're a little heathen. I done been there, folks. You can't fool me. I know you got your mama fooled because I fool mine. But you can't fool me. I done been there. But I remember laying in the bed at night, my face would get hot, and I just feel that guilt, and I feel that shame. And any of you ever had that where your face gets hot? I don't know why my face would just get hot. It just feels just hot. It wasn't hormones, it was guilt. I was a teenage boy, my face feel hot, and I'm like, what if so-and-so finds out? What if mama finds out? What if mama knows I got this magazine under the bed? What if mama comes in here and checks my room and finds that magazine? Just being real with you, I'd get so embarrassed. I'd feel so bad. I remember laying my head on my pillow at night as a teenager. I think, God, I ain't never going to drink another beer. I'm not going to do that. I just feel so bad. What if these people? You know what's so great? It is great to go to bed at night and lay your head on your pillow and say, have at it, man. What are you going to find out? I've been reading the Bible. I've been praying. I'm not out there running in the world anymore. You say, was giving up all that mess worth a good night's sleep? You better believe it. Not having a defiled conscience, you better believe it, man. It's the greatest thing in the world to lay your head on your pillow at night and not say, hey, man, let them talk. Let them do whatever. My mom ain't going to find anything under my bed or in my room. Or maybe some of you teenagers need to go home today when your mom ain't looking to clean out your room. You don't fool me. I don't care if you've been brought up in church. I don't care, whatever. You don't fool me. I was a boy once, too. And you got it much worse than me. I had to really work hard to get my evilness. You got one right there with you. Some of you mama, and this ain't got nothing to do with my message, but some of you mom and daddies, you need to be more smarter than you are about that stuff. You think he's just in there looking up race cars and Richard Petty and the inspirations in the cathedrals. I bet he is. You need to watch that stuff. I don't care how good he is, every 17-year-old boy loses his mind, at least temporarily. Amen. You may lose poor health. I know some of us get poor health. It's just getting old. That's the way it is. But a lot of people walk around with poor health because they're living in sin. Listen, if you're smoking a lot and drinking a lot and doing dope and all that kind of stuff, and let's just go ahead and put it in there. This is uncomfortable. Eating too much. Quickly, let's get over that one. But listen, if you'll do right, a lot of that heartache you'll give up. Your marriage might last past 6 months. If you just do right, you may not wind up in the divorce court. You may not wind up in the pokey. The Red Roof Inn. The Slammer. Don't look at me like you don't know. Some of you have been there. You may avoid jail time. The only time I've ever been in the jail is to go in there and preach. That's why I really don't care about the jail ministry. I believe in the jail ministry. I support the jail ministry. I've been in the jail and preached several times in my life. I hope we have people in this church that'll do it. I just don't really want to do it. It ain't the convicts. I don't care nothing about them. They don't scare me. They don't bother me. I've never had any trouble with them. It's just that going behind that door and it... Then they'll bring you back another door and it's click, click, click. And I'm like, get me out of here, man. I am locked up. I want to go. There's something wrong when you've been in jail so long that it don't bother you no more. A person ought to want to get out and be free. But you may give up. Listen, I'll tell you what you may give up, what you may lose if you do whatever God wants you to do. You may lose some heartache that you're going to have. You may lose some guilt. By the way, guilt is a good thing in our society today. Everybody's trying to make it where you don't feel guilt anymore. Guilt is a great thing if it's a healthy guilt, if it's a guilt by God, not a self-imposed thing where you're just making yourself guilty for no reason. But a lot of people, you should feel some guilt. Listen, if you do wicked, you ought to feel some guilt about it. We ought not try to remove the guilt from our society. That's wrong. The fear of judgment. Wondering about the purpose of life. Listen, I do not wonder about my purpose of life. I'm not walking around wondering, why am I here? I just want to travel the world, but put all my money in and just spend all my money up and go to all the places in the world. I want to figure out, why am I here? Why do I exist? What's the meaning of life? Or Revelation chapter 4, verse 11 tells you what the meaning of life is. God created you to please Him. And I have received the most pleasure in my life when I do what I was put on this earth to do. When I bring pleasure to God, that brings more pleasure to me than when I'm trying to please my own self. If some of you could just get a hold of that, God puts you on this earth to bring pleasure and honor and glory to Him, not to yourself. And just do it. You'd be more fulfilled. You'd enjoy your life. It would be much better. It would be such a blessing to you. You wouldn't have to fear judgment anymore. Listen, I don't care if you're saved or if you're lost. Unless you've just completely lost your mind, you ought to fear when you think about the fact that one day when this thing is over, I'm going to wind up in front of God. Whether saved or lost, when the thing is over, I'm going to wind up standing in front of God. The white throne for you folks that are lost. And He's going to find that your name's not written in the book of life and He's putting you in the lake of fire. Out of hell into the lake of fire. For us, we're going to wind up at the judgment seat of Christ. And the Bible says, well, I'm saved and I ain't worried about that. And I don't care if I have any, have a crown or a barbed wire crown to lay at Christ's feet, just as long as I make it to heaven. You won't feel that way in that day. That passage says over there, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Have you ever read it? It says, knowing the terror of the Lord. Somebody's going to be terrified, and it's not about going to hell. In that passage, the context of that passage, to a saved man at the judgment seat of Christ, not a fellow going to hell. And he said there's going to be some terror for us up there. And that day, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we are bankrupt, and we've done nothing for him with our Christian life. And you don't have to have that terror. You don't have to have that fear. I don't think God's unreasonable. I think if there's anybody in the world that wants you to do good at the judgment seat, it's Jesus Christ. And I think if you try to live for him and keep your sins confessed, have the right motive, the right heart, do things for the right reason, and just try to obey him, I don't think he's going to come down hard on you. He ain't up there with a ball bat ready to bust you in the head with it. I think the judgment seat of Christ is going to be rough on people that didn't give a rip, never hit a lick at it, did not have the right motive for service, did not have the right heart, did not try. But you see what all I give up by just saying, look, I'm going to give it all up. I don't care what it is. I'm going to give it all up. And when I give it all up, not only am I going to get something in return up in heaven, but I'm going to get a lot of things that's going to help me down here on the earth. I'm going to get a peace that passeth all understanding. I'm going to get to enjoy my life a little bit better. Let me tell you something. I have lived out in the world, and I've lived for Christ, and I wouldn't go back to that. The peace and the joy and the fulfillment and the good friends and the things I have in my life now are not even comparable to that mess out there in the world. Not even comparable. God help some young person here this morning to get it in their mind, to get it in their heart, that's not even comparable. And then I want to look at one more question. What is God able to replace by doing right? Now, he told this king, he said, don't worry about all that silver. Just let them have it. Run them off. I don't want you affiliated with them. I don't want you hooking up with them. You just trust me and you'll win the day. That's exactly what he did. He trusted God. They won the day. And they let them walk right off with that silver. Over $1 million in our day and time of silver. Just let them walk off with it. You say, what is God able to replace, though, if we do something like that? Five things I can think of. Number one, God is able to replace your money with eternal riches. Number two, God is able to replace your popularity with eternal glory. Number three, God is able to replace your sin with character, integrity, and a clean conscience. Number four, God is able to replace your selfishness and your greed with surrender and charity. And number five, God is able to replace your loss at the judgment seat with reward. That's what he's able to replace. That's what he's able to give back. Take your Bible and turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. Hebrews chapter 11. And I've preached this text here before. But the part that I want you to pay attention to is the second part of the verse. Most of the time when you hear a fellow preach this passage or talk about this passage, he just really focuses on the first part of it, which is true. Because the Bible is absolutely true, and we know that without faith, it is impossible to please God. You cannot please God without faith. But I want to look at the second part of that passage. He says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and notice this part, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How many of you believe here that if you want to please God, you don't just believe that he is God, but you believe that one day God is going to make it worth your while for giving it up. That he is able to give you much more than you are ever called upon or able to give up. How many of you believe that this morning? Listen, because if you don't believe it, you'll never give it up. If you don't believe it as a Christian, you'll hold on to it. If you don't believe it as a saved person, you'll never change your life. Because you say, I want it, I want it, I want it. I want the pleasure of sin for a season. I want it right now. And it's not worth giving it up. What about the 100 talents of silver, God? What about that? God's saying, you've got to believe in me. But there's something else in that passage. Just as important. It's so important to God, not just that you believe Him, but that you believe something about Him. God said, if you want to please me, this is what you've got to believe about me. You've got to believe that I will make it worth your while to do what I told you to do. That I am able to give you much more than you ever give up. And if you really don't believe that, nothing will change in your life as a Christian. You hear me this morning? If you really don't believe that this morning, nothing will change in your life as a Christian. One more passage here in this same chapter. Going down to verse number 17. We're talking about that word able. I'm going to show you somebody that believed what I'm saying here this morning. And you see that word able. Abraham believed that whatever he sacrificed for God, listen to me, even his son, God was able to give him more. God was able to take care of it. Now, when you read over there in the Genesis account when Abraham takes Isaac up to sacrifice him, you don't know exactly what he's thinking in his heart. But when you get over here in the book of Hebrews, you see exactly what he's thinking when he's going up there to sacrifice his son. And you see the position that Abraham had in his heart when he's going to do it. Watch this right here in verse number 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, here it goes, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God, this is what Abraham thought, accounting that God was, there's that word, church, what's that word? That's what we're preaching on, isn't it? Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which also he received him in a figure. Do you know what Abraham had in his mind when he's taking Isaac up there to sacrifice him? This is what he's got in his mind. I'm going to go up there and I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him because God told me to kill him. He's my one son. He's supposed to be the heir. I don't know how God's going to work this thing out, but I'm going to take him right up there. I'm going to put him on the altar and I'm going to kill him. Because I believe God's going to raise him up from the dead. I'm going to do what he told me to. Listen, I'm going to give up what he told me to give up because I believe he's able to replace it. And that's what God did. God didn't raise him up, but he stopped him. He said, I just want to see if you meant business. But Abraham had in his mind, I'm going to kill him. And God's going to resurrect him. How about them apples? That's pretty good, ain't it? Listen to me this morning. We must believe that God is able and willing to reward all of our sacrifices. Do you believe that? He's going to make it worthwhile one day. Whatever you give up now, he'll make it worth it when we get home. And a lot of that, he'll make it worth it right now. Don't worry about it. I hear people say stuff like this. Well, you know, preacher, I just bought this whole carton of cigarettes. You know how much they cost? Nah, I used to, but that's been years ago. I have no idea. I guess they probably changed a lot in 30 or 35 years. Well, I got this case of beer. When I drink this case of beer, well, I just paid for all this weed. And you know how much? I have no idea how much weed costs. I watch live PD every once in a while. Maybe I can figure that out. Or a fella say something like this. Well, preacher, I just moved her in. I'll be so lonely. Preacher, I worked so hard to get this promotion, even though the company is doing all this stuff under the table. Ain't nobody laughing now. But I just bought this $100 NIV. What about the 100 pieces of silver? God is able to replace your investment and loss with interest and gain. And you've got to believe it. John Wesley, the great Methodist preacher, when he was on his dying bed, he put his hands up into the Lord, up in the air, and he said, "The best of all is God is with us," and he died. That's a good way to die. Now, you know why he could say that? Because John Wesley had another saying that he would say, and he lived by. John Wesley said this. John Wesley said, "Everything depends upon the blessings of God." That's why when John Wesley died, he didn't have nothing. That's why he gave it all away. He knew God was able to give it. God's able to give it back. John Wesley said, "You do whatever you want to. You do whatever you want to in this life, but it all boils down to this. Everything depends upon whether God blesses it or He doesn't. And when you give up something for Him, He'll bless it. And if you withhold it and He wants you to give it up, He won't bless it." You see, friends, it may appear, listen to me as we close this morning, it may appear that you're going to lose by giving it up, but really you've already lost by having it. The old time black preacher that was a pastor up at St. John's Baptist Church in Buffalo, New York, I didn't agree with all of his theology, but he had some good sayings. His name was B.W. Smith. B.W. Smith, the old preacher, said, "God's leftovers are better than the devil's main course." I've never given up anything that God wanted me to give up that He didn't replace with something better. That's my testimony. Do you believe that this morning? I hope you do. Every head bowed and eye closed.